Okay, so we just had the PPI inflation numbers, which are the preemptive to the CPI inflation numbers that come out tomorrow. And the PPI inflation numbers were actually lower than expected, which is usually a good sign because it means that Powell may be more open to reducing rates at the next meeting. Okay, despite the better numbers, the Bitcoin price hasn't really moved. And the reason why it hasn't really moved is because now the market's focusing on other things. And there's talk about things like recession, wars in the Middle East, etc. And basically, all of this combined is making Bitcoin continue to move sideways. In fact, if you look at how long we've been moving sideways for, we have been moving sideways for 167 days. I'm going to show you when this all ends. And not only that, I'm also going to show you, and basically all of this combined is, I'm going to also show you when exactly the alt season is going to start. Now, I know we don't want to talk about alt season yet. It's like become a swear word here. We've forgotten about the fact that there's alts. We hate alts because alts don't move. I'm going to show you exactly when alt season is going to start. So that's what we're going to be doing today. Also, I think we have to spend a little bit of time talking about Trump, who is back.
Biden actually did something that was impossible. Both sides hate him. You know, both sides. Yeah. That was a hard thing to do. Unification.
So he's back on Twitter. He had the interview with Elon Musk yesterday. I mean, I saw some of the responses to the interview from the mainstream media, which were all negative. I mean, they were all negative. After a glitchy start, Trump encounters a sympathetic interviewer in Elon Musk. Elon Musk throws a Trump rally. Trump returns to X with technical glitches. That's what the mainstream media want you to think. I'm going to show you exactly what actually happened, what actually happened there. And let me tell you one thing. It was very, very, very bad for meme coins. Even though it was the biggest day that meme coins ever had, I think that yesterday was the death of meme coins but I think it was correlated to the Elon and Trump spaces. So if you're holding meme coins, you want to be watching this episode as well. So as you can hear, on a quiet day in the markets, we have a lot of work to do, guys. Let's get going. Not a popular opinion or not a popular take to say it's the end of meme coins, but I really do think that yesterday was a turning point for meme coins. I think the meme coin super cycle, as they call it, is going to be a bit slowed down now. And I don't think it's going to be such a meme coin super cycle. Do I think that all meme coins will die? Absolutely not. I think the ones that are alive and have got network effects and traction will actually do well. But I do think that we've hit a turning point in meme coins, and I think you should mark the day today. The 13th of August is when Rand told you that meme coins were actually going to slow down. In fact, I have been saying it for about a week, but I think today was actually a turning point, and we'll actually talk about that. We will only talk about that, though, once we get to at least 1,000 likes on this stream. So we have to get to 1,000 likes on the stream. Also, I am reminding you that if you haven't already subscribed, we need to get to 1 million subscribers. What are you waiting for? Help us get to 1 million subscribers. We're getting ever so close. Subscribe to the channel. If you're not already subscribed, get us to 1,000 likes as quickly as possible. Let's see how quickly we can hit 1,000 likes. Let's get the alpha of the show on the road. As I said, we did have the PPI numbers, which came out. Look, the PPI numbers were better than expected. We had a 2.2 PPI. For those of you who don't know, it's producer price index. It's the inflation as measured by producers, not by consumers. There's effectively two types of inflation readings. The first one is the producer price index. It's what producers are feeling when they are manufacturing things. And that usually filters into the consumer price index, which is when consumers actually consume the things that the producers produced. Producers are saying that the price increases were 2.2% versus the expectation of 2.3%, which means that it feels like inflation is going to start coming down. Inflation is going to start coming down, and that is the sign that Powell Powell can actually start reducing interest rates at the next meeting. The big day will be tomorrow, because tomorrow we get the CPI. The CPI is forecast to come in tomorrow at 3%. I suspect that if we get 3% tomorrow in the CPI forecast, we're almost guaranteed of the first rate cut. So I think we'll get the first rate cut. Right now, the market is split as to whether it's going to be a 50 basis point rate cut or a 25 basis point rate cut. I'm, of course, leaning with 25 basis point rate cuts. And then I think we may have one or two other 25 basis point rate cuts this year. There are a few things, though, that you need to be paying attention to if you're looking at inflation as the indicator as to whether Powell will start reducing interest rates or not. So Powell said that Powell's mandate is to make sure that there is unemployment and inflation are balanced. In other words, inflation is not too high or inflation gets low and unemployment doesn't go too high. That's all that Powell's actually worried about. The problem with inflation is that even though prices have started to come down, there are some headwinds when it comes to inflation. The first of those headwinds is the price of oil. Remember, the price of oil is actually used to price everything. So everything eventually lands up with energy or oil powering it, like stuff getting to stores, stuff getting manufactured, things that need to get to the manufacturing plant. All that requires transportation. Transportation relies on oil. All the manufacturing process relies on oil. Now, the problem is that you've got tensions in the Middle East, and there's Iran threatening a war against Israel and against the United States, and this war has been looming. And what that's doing is it is driving up the prices of oil. Also, the prices of shipping, because of all the issues that are happening in that area, the prices of shipping are going up. Now, that affects all imported goods, and that can actually cause inflation. And so we have to keep watching this inflation number, even though I do believe if we do get a short-term reprieve in inflation, and tomorrow we get a reading of under 3%, I think that this rate cut is almost guaranteed. And then we start going into the next part of the cycle, which is effectively the fun part of the cycle. And the fun part of the cycle is effectively when all the liquidity goes into the cycle. And the reason why I say that is because I don't think that the U.S. can carry on with a debt of $35 trillion paying, you know, so much of interest on that debt. Remember, the U.S. has got a $35 trillion debt at the moment. They have to refinance that debt. Right now, interest rates are around 5%. Can you imagine the U.S. refinancing $35 trillion of debt at 5%? That would mean that they'd be paying nearly $2 trillion a year just on interest, which is like double what they spend on the defense budget. So they cannot afford to keep rates higher for much longer. The other reason why they can't afford to keep rates higher for much longer is because if they do, then people will start getting worried about this thing called a recession. Now, just for the record, I don't think there's going to be a recession in the United States. And if there is a recession, I think it's going to be a very, very, very short-lived recession. But that is only if Powell acts and actually starts cutting rates and so the economy can actually start growing. Because what you got to remember is that the moves of the rate cuts take a long time to actually filter into the economy. You can't cut rates today and then expect the moves to filter into the economy next month. It takes months and months and months for rate cuts to filter into the economy. First, you cut rates. Then people say, okay, it's worth my while to actually lend to start that new venture or to get that new machine. Then they have to buy the machine. Then they have to set up the machine. Then they have to start producing. Then they have to start making an income. All this takes time. And so the Fed can't afford to wait until the recession actually starts to start slowing down at the recession. They have to make sure that they preempt it. And that is what I'm counting on. I'm counting on the fact that even though we won't be in a recession by the next time the Fed meet, the Fed will preempt the fact that if they don't act now, we will actually get a recession. And that is why what everybody is starting to worry about. So as I said, we're past one thing, which is inflation, but now the market's starting to worry about this thing called a recession, which is now the new buzz term that you're going to be hearing about between now and the next part of the cycle, which is what I'm going to talk to you about now. I think we'll all agree that it's become very, 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 very frustrating to be in this market. I mean, if you look at this market, and I know it's not only me, we've been moving sideways for 167 days, literally sideways and down for 167 days. We sometimes get a little bit of a positive surprise, but the positive surprise is not enough to break the all-time high. And then we get these negative surprises, which take us into zones, which make us feel uncomfortable. And this has been happening now for 167 days. The truth is that as much as it's as frustrating as it is and as demoralizing as it is absolutely, absolutely, absolutely fucking normal. In fact, just look at the previous two cycles. In 2016, we moved sideways for 182 days. 2021, we moved sideways for 161 days. It's pretty normal, but we are getting to the point now where the market does need to make a move and where I think the market will start making a move. And when the market does start making a move, I do think that we're going to go into the global liquidity fun zone. And when I say that, I think with the Fed cutting interest rates and they're going to have to stimulate the economy to make sure we remain out of this so-called recession that everybody's talking about, they're going to need to put money into the economy, and that's going to put us into the liquidity fund zone. And we are pretty much very, very, very close to getting into that liquidity fund zone, which is, as I said, exactly on time for all the other cycles. The one thing about this cycle is, when the cycle started, we all thought that this was going to be a left-translated, very fast cycle. And we thought that because the ETFs took us up too early in the cycle, and we broke the all-time high before Bitcoin actually halved, which is the first time in Bitcoin's history that we've broken an all-time high before the halving. Now, that fooled us, because we thought that we're going to get this accelerated cycle. But in the what's happened in the meantime, Bitcoin has actually underperformed relative to how it should perform in a cycle. Now, there is, of course, a thing called diminishing returns with every cycle. But if this cycle were to repeat the 2012 cycle, Bitcoin should have been at $339,000. But of course, every cycle we get lower returns because the asset actually gets bigger. If we compare that to the 2016 cycle, we should be at $71,000. On the 2020 cycle, we should be at $77,000. And we're not. And so what I'm predicting is that we're actually going to get a catch-up. So that right now, we overextended on the way up because the ETFs launched. Now we're pulling back down, and then we're going to have the massive catch-up trade. Now, that goes with this theory. Like, if you look now, we've already got the ETFs, which have helped us a lot. And they are the third biggest hold. I mean, just BlackRock is now in a matter of 6 or 7 months, BlackRock owns 350,000 Bitcoin, and they are the number three biggest holder in the world, of which we suspect Satoshi Nakamoto is never, ever going to move his coins. And the rest is sitting on Binance Exchange, which is basically us degens just storing our Bitcoin on exchanges. Now, you shouldn't be storing your Bitcoin on exchanges. I've said this to you guys a million times. And the one thing that's really cool to see is that if you look at the charts of people storing Bitcoin on exchanges, the numbers are very, very, very far down. Now, I think one of the things that is good about this is that I'm glad to see that people are not storing their coins on exchanges. But if you're not storing your coins on exchanges, my big question is, where the hell are you storing your coins? Okay, now, I really, really, really hope that you are storing your coins on some kind of device like a Ledger or a Trezor. I want to just show you this. So I met the guys from Ledger at the Bitcoin conference, and they showed me the new Ledger. I don't know if you guys have seen this Ledger. This Ledger was actually designed by the guy that designed the iPhone. And it is, the Ledgers that we use look like the USB sticks. This is the new Ledger. It is an absolute, absolute, absolute work of art and an absolute work of technology. It's literally like playing on your iPhone. Okay, now, guys, if you want a new Ledger, I really hope that there's a link at the bottom of the show. You never know these days if you're going to get a link or not. It's a 50-50. But let's quickly just see if there's a link here. If we're lucky, there will be a link here to actually get a Ledger, and you'll get $10 of Bitcoin free onto your Ledger. I really think that you should be taking your coins off exchanges, and I really think that if you're going to do that, get yourself one of these Ledgers to protect your coins correctly. Also, I said to you, there's going to be a catch-up. If you look at Bitcoin's stock-to-flow model, it is now underperforming the stock-to-flow model, but it is also underperforming gold. And so I'm thinking that what's going to happen next is we're going to get some kind of catch-up, not only to the stock-to-flow, but also to the gold model. And that's going to take Bitcoin into what this level calls here the big move on Bitcoin. And I really think that we're finally like a couple of days or maybe weeks away from Bitcoin's next move. Like, I can't see us continuing like this till the end of September, not getting the big move. I also think that as we get closer to the elections, I think there's going to be campaigning on both sides around Bitcoin. Now, what you know is that Trump has put his best foot forward when it comes to Bitcoin. Like, I mean, the guy's more pro-Bitcoin than some people walking around the office here. You know, like, he's realized that he wants to be on Bitcoin's side. He's realized that he wants to be the pro-innovation, pro-Bitcoin president. He loves the people around Bitcoin. He loves us as Bitcoiners. He is one of us. What Vivek says is he believes that Kamala will come out with
friendly crypto positioning. There are those who think if you're a single voter on crypto, that this could lose her the election if she doesn't come out and embrace it. Look, Trump was all for the not taxing tips. Now she's all for... Do you think she will ultimately embrace crypto as an industry?
I predict her verbiage will. And I do think that part of the reason why is you see Trump's speech at the Bitcoin conference. It's just a matter of competing for votes that she's going to adopt a thoughtful position. Now, speaking as an American, not from a partisan perspective, I think that's a good thing. I think we should want great debate in the marketplace of ideas. Even if she offers a thoughtful digital assets framework or policy, even if I don't agree with all of it, I think that'll be a good thing for the country. But what I challenge Kamala Harris to do is not just cite the pieties in the words. Go into detail. Say what you actually believe about self-custody of assets. Say what you actually believe about whether you think Gary Gensler should continue as the leader of the SEC. So I think those specifics are going to matter a lot, Kelly.
For sure, but is what you're saying is just a general position of openness is probably all the industry really is looking for. This idea that it's not a partisan issue, that Republicans...
Look, so he thinks Kamala Harris is going to be friendly towards crypto. The actions are actually telling us otherwise. I mean, someone broke this down. He says new evidence that Kamala will continue the crypto crackdown. He's talking about her advisor choices, and they really are all anti-crypto people. And he breaks down exactly how these people are anti-crypto people. So to be honest, I don't really trust Kamala Harris. I don't trust her one bit. I know some people may think that, you know, she may come out and be pro-crypto, but I don't trust her one bit. And to me, what was really, really good was to see Trump back on X, because I tweeted about this yesterday and I said, look, I don't believe that you can win a presidential race when you've got the disadvantage of not being on X. And I know that Trump has, you know, he's a shareholder in a platform called Truth Social, and Truth Social is supposed to compete with X. It happened, I think Truth Social started when Trump was actually kicked off X by the previous regime, by the Jack Dorsey regime. And he wouldn't come back to X. He never came back to X to tweet. I know he was encouraged by Elon to come back to X. But I think what Trump's realized is that you cannot win an election not being on to X. And yesterday was amazing. He came on to X.
In America.
This over here. The only 42.5 million
views. We can now project the winner of the presidential race. Donald Trump wins the presidency.
And I think that he did it because what he realized was, he said, look at the poly market odds. Kamala's beating me on poly markets. This is a big problem. I need to do something urgently. Regardless of all these agreements that I may have with Truth Social, either I'm going to win the election or I'm not going to win the election, and therefore I've got to be on X. And so he came back to X. I think he realizes that without X, you can't really win an election. And, you know, when they say that social media platforms and search engines influence the outcome of elections, I think they're 100% right. And I think that if you don't have the favor of the Googles, and all your searches are being blocked. And by the way, the show is going to probably be blocked because here I am talking badly against Google. You know that. So you just get everybody to watch the show now. Just smash the like button. That's what usually helps. But it's true. If I get over 1,000 likes, people watch the show. And right now we're on 854, Josh. That's how it works. But I do think that they can actually sway the elections. And I think that what Trump realized yesterday, I think he's been realizing it for a long time, either I'm going to make Truth Social work, but I'm going to risk losing the election, or fuck Truth Social. I've got to get onto X, and I've got to start being the president that I was, tweeting cool shit on X. I mean, I saw one of the tweets that he tweeted. Let me try and find it first. It was a tweet that said, hold on, I got to find this for you. It was really one of the best tweets. He said, I hope we never find life on another planet, because if we do, there's no doubt the United States will start sending their money. That was a Trump tweet. Now, I mean, again, Trump expresses himself beautifully on X. We saw that yesterday. I don't know if you guys listened to the entire interview. I certainly listened to the entire interview between Trump and Elon Musk. Some crazy moments. I mean, you know, first of all, I think it was a great, 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 great discussion between the two of them. It was a friendly, it wasn't an interview. It was a discussion between two very influential people.
Our servers. And
started off with a DDoS attack. Now, I wonder if anybody has any speculation as to who possibly would DDoS attack the Trump Elon Musk spaces. I mean, do you have any ideas, Josh? Any ideas as to who possibly would do it? Can't imagine it would be anyone but Hillary Clinton or the Democrats. No, it could never happen. That could never happen. I mean, this is the tone of a discussion.
I mean, looking at the aerial views, that building would be like the number one spot for a sniper. I mean, if you were to pick, like, what is the favorite place? If the goal is to assassinate, what's your favorite spot? That building.
You're right.
That building would be number one.
That would have been the spot.
It's like you can ask for a better location. It's like
no,
number one.
That would have been the spot.
I mean, looking at the aerial views.
So that was one part of it. They spoke about a lot of things. They spoke about electric vehicles. They didn't speak about crypto at all. They didn't speak about crypto at all. Musk praised Donald Trump.
You were popping your fist in the air and saying, fight, fight, fight. And I think that's, I mean, you know, the president of the United States represents America. And I think that is America. That is strength under fire.
So that's exactly what it is. They spoke about Kamala Harris's policies.
Illegal immigration. But we obviously need to shut down illegal immigration and especially unvetted illegal immigration, because you know, and that's not the same as saying that everyone who is an illegal immigrant is bad. In fact, I think most people who are illegal immigrants are actually good, but you can't tell the difference unless there's a solid vetting of who comes across the border. Does that accurately represent your position?
I say it very simply. They have to come in legally. They have to be checked.
Yeah.
Because look, Kamala was the border czar. Now she's denying it. Everything that I do, she's saying she was strong on the border. We're going to be strong. Well, she doesn't have to say it. She could close it up right now. They could do things right now. It's horrible. No tax on tips. And all of a sudden she's making a speech and saying there will be no tax on tips. I said that.
I mean, lots of true words spoken. Like, she is in power now. If she's so strong on the borders, close the borders, do something now. I mean, why wait until you're president? You're a vice president. Your president is practically dead. Like, the guy basically doesn't exist. He's a puppet president. Go and do something. Don't just talk about what you are going to do. They spoke about that. I mean, okay, they did bash Joe Biden, I think.
Through this president with a low IQ, very low IQ. He had a low IQ 30 years ago, by the way, but now he might not even have a IQ at all. There's nothing on the board that goes this low. He said things that were so stupid that war would have been, that war had zero chance of happening.
He's talking about the Ukraine war.
Zero chance. He was saying everything the opposite.
So he spoke about that. So interesting. Very, very, very good debate. A very, very good discussion, I must say. Really, really, really a massive, massive, massive discussion. I mean, the amount of views that it got and the amount of attention that it got, even before the discussion, where you got the guys from the EU. I mean, can you believe it that the EU wanted to censor this? The EU wanted to censor discussion on an American platform by two Americans? I mean, what the hell happened to the EU? When did we allow the EU to deteriorate into such thing? I mean, Kamala Harris, this was her response. Right now, Elon Musk is interviewing Donald Trump live on Twitter. We're not calling it X. Like, what are you, a four-year-old child? We're not calling it X. It's called X, okay, woman? It's not enough that Elon Musk has pledged to donate millions of dollars to help re-elect Trump. He's using his purchase platform, one of the largest social media sites in the world, to spread Trump's unhinged and hateful agenda to millions of users. If that's all you need to hear, chip in $25. Okay, listen, I want to say something. I've done some really bad shills on this station to try and get you guys to buy things. I've never done one that bad, ever. You'll admit, I've never done one that bad, ever, ever, ever in my life. If that's all you need to hear, chip in $25 to help Kamala and Tampon Tim have the resources to respond to their lies. Otherwise, let us remind you why it's a big deal. The richest person in the world is a lackey for Team Make America Great Again. Maybe the richest person in the world wants capitalism, doesn't like your democratic garbage. This show is definitely going to get removed off Twitter. I better carry on. I better move on. I did love how Elon Musk responded to Terry Breton is the person that sent it to him. He says, "With Terry Breton said, with great audience comes great responsibility. There is a risk of amplification of potentially harmful content in the EU in connection with the event of major audiences." And this Terry Breton, almost like, okay, but look, let's just understand who Terry Breton is. That's Terry Breton. Sends a mail to Musk, basically saying, look, you need to censor this in the EU just in case there's misinformation that comes out of it. And what garbage is that? When did the EU get to this level of deterioration? Like, I know it was deteriorating a little bit, but I didn't realize that. Same time, I love the fact that Elon Musk, okay, was saying, happy to host Kamala on Spaces too. She'll never come. She'll never come because she knows. She knows she'll never be able to handle it. Anyway, meantime, This thing is amazing. So far, it's got nearly 1 billion impressions with all the retakes and the retakes and the retakes, and probably very, very, very good for Trump. One of the guys that was also complaining, can you believe it? Have you been to LA lately? Okay, I just went to LA. What the fuck happened there? It's like a meteorite hit LA. It's a fucking disaster zone. Now, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, says, glitchy tech issues, uncomfortable silences, a complete failure to launch, and that's just the candidate. Bro, have you seen what you did to California? Like, you're talking about glitchy? Bro, let me drive you around California. I'll show you glitchy. People shitting on the floors. People walking around high on fentanyl, walking around naked. Scariest shit I ever saw happening in California. And you're talking about glitchy on a fucking spaces? Bro, there's a reason why even Kamala Harris didn't choose you as her vice president, bro. Because she knows what you did. If you can do 10% of what you did to California, to the rest of the United States, the U.S. is fucked. Even the Democrats see that. And that's why you weren't chosen as Kamala's vice president. So the other part of the media that this wasn't supposed to be a rancher. I don't know when it became a rancher, but fuck it. We're here. Let's do it. People, someone says, yeah, Melanie says, Ryan, please chill with the politics. I agree. I'm gonna chill with the politics. Now I'm gonna move on to mainstream media. So the mainstream media, they didn't like this interview at all. And the reason why they didn't like the mainstream media at all is because the mainstream media didn't like this at all. And just look at these headlines. Elon throws Musk a Trump rally party. Musk tries to help Trump halt the Harris surge. Trump regales Elon Musk with familiar falsehoods. I mean, not a single good rambling Trump Musk interviewed marred by tech issues. That's what the mainstream media saw. But the reality is that this interview got more views and more impressions on Twitter than every single or any other story that happened in the mainstream media ever. Ever. You get what's going on here, right? You understand what's going on here. The mainstream media is being destroyed by Elon. And I think I saw Patrick Bet-David or Valuetainment or one of them tweeting saying, probably the two most important people right now in the world are Elon Musk and Trump. Because if we get 4 more years of Kamala, good luck to the Americans, good luck to the rest of the world. And if we don't have a free speech platform and we let the people in the EU dictate to us what we can listen to and what we can't listen to, that's not a world that I want to live in. So for me, right now, the most important two people in the world, Elon Musk, three people in the world that are, for me right now, the most important. One is Elon Musk, very, very, very important to keep free speech alive. Two, Donald Trump, very, very, very important if we want to fix crypto in the United States. Three, Hardass, because he runs the stream here. And if he isn't doing the stream very well here, then you don't get a stream. So for me, three very, very, very important people in the world right now. Anyway, so big success for Trump, big success. Lots of media impressions. I think over 1 billion media impressions with all the remakes. I think we also gave a lot of impressions now because we spoke about it and stuff like that. Someone says, so honest, love the show. You know, I can't be this honest because then immediately I just become honest again. So it's like, I can't be this honest. I just am who I am. Anyway, the one thing that also, not only views on Twitter were very high, but also the other thing that really exploded yesterday was meme coins. Holy shit, every word that Elon said yesterday, yep, sure, was a ticker. RRR was a ticker. You know, was a ticker. Okay, guys, this is the end of meme coins. And the truth is, I've been saying it for a while, that I think that it's becoming, that meme coins aren't fun anymore. And I think that yesterday cemented it. You wanna see like a good stat from yesterday? 157,000 meme coins were launched. Only 3 successfully graduated out of the bonding curve. 0 out of the 3 above the graduation price. Okay. The reality is that Pump.Fun is a great platform. It makes it really, really, really easy to launch a meme coin. But the thing with, and doing this, they've made themselves over 611,000 SOL, which is over $80 or $90 million of Solana. But the reality is that the reason why people play meme coins is because they come here to make money. And if you're going to tell me that 157,000 meme coins are going to launch and not only three successfully graduate, zero out of the three above the graduation price, meme coins are not fun anymore. And so while pump.fun think that in 3 hours, tens of thousands in the trenches, they think it's a good thing, I'm going to argue that they basically destroyed the industry because they allowed people to make meme coins too easily. And now the reality is that you've got more meme coins than people in crypto. That's the reality of it. You're at a point now where there are more meme coins being launched every day than new people coming into crypto. And there are probably more meme coins than there are people in crypto. And to be honest, when that happens, when there's an oversupply of coins, the reality is that playing meme coins is no longer fun. When was the last time that you actually made money in a meme coin? We're out of that stage in the meme coin cycle where you can make tens and hundreds and thousand X's on the meme coins. We used to hear about those stories every single day, and that's why we used to play meme coins. But you're not hearing about it anymore. No one's coming to you and say, oh, I made 100X today, 50X today. The excitement around meme coins is gone, and that's because pump.fun made it too easy. Too easy, too cheap to make meme coins. And so the meme coin game is no longer fun. And I don't know about you guys, but I used to love playing meme coins. I don't enjoy meme coins anymore. Do you enjoy meme coins?
No, not
anymore. Josh, do you enjoy meme coins?
Not right now.
No, not right now. No one's enjoying meme coins anymore. Mark my words, 13th of August, whatever was before, that was the top for meme coins. And now we start moving down. And the reality is that I'm not upset that we're moving down. You know why? Because now we can get back to the real business of crypto. Meme coins were designed because initially we were supposed to have better odds in meme coins than we were supposed to have in the VC coins. The reason why we came to meme coins is we said there's no fun in the VC coins because the odds are stacked against us. Problem is that when the meme coin odds are also stacked against you, then where do you go? Well, you realize you're underexposed on the VC coins again. And so I think that yesterday was the peak for pump.fun. I think that yesterday was the peak for meme coins. And I think that now we start going back to the real business of VC coins and altcoins and stuff like that. Someone says, Banter Analyst Team is super. I agree. Banter Analyst Team is the best analyst team in the world. If you want to be part of my analyst team, can we put a link here? There is a link. It says here, crypto researchers wanted. If you want to be part of my research team, and I'm looking to hire 8 researchers at the moment, click on this link, do this test. But it's like quite like they ask you like your email, they ask your Twitter handle, they ask you if you're happy to work European hours because we work European hours, and then they ask you like what ecosystems are you bullish on, what is interoperability. Fill in those questions, but don't use ChatGPT because if you do, we'll know. And then, because we have an interview with you afterwards, and then you'll just look like a fool, and we don't want you to look like a fool. Anyway, let's go back to it. So, I think what's going to happen now is this meme coin like hype is done, and I think we can get back into going back into altcoins. But I don't think that the altcoins are going to run properly until, like what Arthur Hayes says, Bitcoin breaks 70,000 convincingly. ETH goes back to $4,000. And by the way, I think ETH can get back to $4,000. I see that the Grayscale Trust have like stopped selling for the first time. They actually stopped selling yesterday. So I think, like Arthur Hayes says, when the meme coin goes, the Bitcoin goes over 70,000, ETH goes to 4,000, and Solana goes above 250, then we get an alt season of like epic proportions. And I must say, I think it is coming. To be honest, I really, 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 I think it is coming. Just quickly, when altcoins actually run, I think one of the sectors that might run, and it's been a very neglected sector, is actually going to be the gaming sector. Gaming's been hit really, really, really fucking hard. They had a great run in the beginning of the cycle, and then I don't know, the gaming narrative just got absolutely fucking destroyed. But there are a couple of catalysts that are happening. One is, you've got this thing called GamesCon, which is happening on the 21st to 25th of August. Now, at GamesCon, it's like the biggest gaming convention in the world. It's in Germany, apparently. You're going to get a lot of announcements. Now, some of the announcements will be like from people on Beam. I know Beam's going to be there. And a lot of the games that are built on Beam are going to be there. I think Alluvium's going to be there. And Alluvium's got amazing, amazing things. And all those things are absolutely amazing. But I think there's also another catalyst. And the other catalyst is that you've got Off the Grid, which is this Godzilla Games thing. And it's the first crypto game to actually be on PlayStation. And I've spoken to people who have been playing the beta of this. And they've said it's actually fucking amazing. It's like actually a really addictive, unbelievable game. So I think that this in itself could, I've had so many amazing reports saying, I'm great to see everyone talking about play off the grid because they are so genuinely excited, not because token guy, paid chill, scammy note sales, pointless airdrops. The game is amazing. Now, if you were here on Friday at the Friday banter, and you heard Jose talking about a game, that's the game he was talking about. I spoke to him afterwards. That's the game he was talking about. He's telling me that it's like one of the best games that he's played regardless of crypto. Forget about crypto. And that's the thing for a good game. If you want to be a good game, you got to be a good game in crypto and not in crypto. Otherwise, it's like just another Axie Infinity. And I think that off the grid will be the game. Like even Hustle says, today's pretty monumental day in crypto gaming. Off the grid has opened the doors not only to PC, but now available for play test approved players on PlayStation 5. The tide is turning. So I think that this might be the one. And plus the GamesCon that's happening with on all the announcements. Let's keep our eye on gaming. I'm not saying go and jump now everything. But I do think we should actually go look at it. All right, so that is it for today. I want to remind you also that Sheldon Sniper School, which you can sign up for over here, starts today. You can still get in. Let's just see. Where do you sign up for Sheldon Sniper School? I know. Here we go. Join Sheldon Sniper School. If you click here, it's the last time it's going to be free. After this, it's going to be $999. You have 3 hours and 58 minutes to sign up. Do me a favor. Go and actually sign up and join us tonight. And if you can't make tonight, you can catch up with us next week. But go and do it because you ain't going to get a chance to get a trading course like this ever again for free. This course will be $999 the next time. Guys, I will see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.